Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. Today, our guest is Debbie Lamont, who lives just outside of London in the UK. And Debbie has really reminded me of something so important. And this interview is just a full expression of that the true purpose of yoga is to learn how to come home to self, to learn how to listen, to turn our attention inward and say, how am I feeling? What do I need right now? Is there anything I could do to support and nourish myself? And that over time, that is almost a spiritual practice, that God is within us, if you're into God, and that by caretaking ourselves, we're actually showing up in the world as the most potent and kind and compassionate and empathetic human that we can possibly show up as. So there is yoga, and that is a big part of what we do as yoga practitioners. And then I saw a whole nother part of the interview that was very, very specific to yoga therapy, that people have had a particular health diagnosis and that they're working to use more natural and holistic ways along with conventional medicine to resolve some of these issues that sometimes regular allopathic medicine doesn't even have ways to work with it. So a lot of times what we see in yoga therapy is that we are the kind of the last stop after nothing else has worked, or maybe it worked for a little while and then stopped working. And now people have found this idea that, wow, I really have to take responsibility for my health and do this lifestyle management in terms of yoga and Ayurveda. And so I think we see that full spectrum in this interview, using yoga therapy for something like lymphedema, which, we talk quite a bit about what that means and how to work with that. And then all the way over to this more spiritual place where we're finding liberation within, we're finding freedom within, and learning to come home to self. And that, throughout our lifetime, we may float in and out of yoga therapy to help us with less fatigue or less pain or lessen our anxiety or help us get better sleep or help with lymphedema. But the thread that goes through all of that is this idea of getting to know ourselves, becoming more self-aware, learning how to care for ourselves in this human body, which inevitably, as she and I talk about at the very end, if inevitably this body will break down and there will be a moment where we no longer get to travel with our soul inside this body, and that we can make the most of every moment until then. So I think you're going to love this interview with Debbie Lamond, and I look forward to hearing how it landed with you. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour Season 9. When I had this idea about a year ago that we could take an entire year for all of you to come on the podcast and tell your stories, I had no idea how overwhelming the response would be and how amazing it would be to get to know so many of you, our faithful listeners. I've gotten to know friends and see faces and connect with hearts, all so many people that I didn't even know were out there, people just like you and I. I'm so grateful. And the response has been so large that we're no longer needing anyone to sign up for telling your story. And I want to thank all the people who came forward to make this year on the Yoga Therapy Hour so successful. I'm so grateful to you. All right, let's go meet our guest for today and hear another story. Welcome, Debbie Lamond. Thank you for being here today.
Lovely to be here with you, Amy.
Debbie, I'm hearing your accent. Where are you joining us from in the world?
I am just outside of London in the UK.
Okay.
It's a bit of a dull day today, but the sun was shining.
Do you prefer the summer?
I prefer the summer. I love waking up and seeing the sunrise. That's for me is wonderful. And I often find that the full moon and having that lighter evenings and that brighter light is wonderful. So once that's gone, I find that I tend to dip a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I am really excited after reading your story what we're going to talk about today. It's something I have a lot of questions about. So I think you're going to provide us with a lot of education. And I guess what I first want to know is, how did you come to yoga in the first place? Was it through this illness that you had, or had you already been doing yoga prior to that?
Yeah, I'd already started yoga. I started yoga in about 1994, soon after my son was born. I was having a quite a demanding job and living as a single mum. I just needed something to ground me and to sort of give me that time and space. So that's where it started.
I'm hearing that from so many people, that yoga was the thing that gave them space to come back home to themselves with young children, that it's so demanding. But that hour or hour and a half on the yoga mat was like their time. Is that how you felt?
It certainly was. And I remember starting and going to this class, and the teacher was wonderful. She was from the British School of Yoga. And we did obviously the asanas. And then at the end, she would read excerpts from the Yoga Pradipika. And that was just, for me, was the most magical time of the week. It was just listening to her, just sort of reading out. And it just resonated with me so much.
That's so beautiful. You know, we get so many teachers that are just doing yoga for exercise. So to have someone go to the ancient texts and read that, I can imagine that was really nourishing.
Yeah, I think that's where it's all started, to be honest with you. I mean, I was already doing quite a lot of exercise, and I was rowing and doing dragon boat racing. So I didn't need it from that point of view, but I really did need something else. And yoga certainly gave me that.
And can you tell us a tiny bit about the British Wheel of Yoga and that tradition?
Yeah, it's a very well recognized body here in the UK. And it makes sure that we as yoga teachers are doing our training every year. And it's also obviously offering insurances as well. So it comes with quite an understanding from people. If they see that you're a British Wheel of Yoga teacher, for me, it always thinks, okay, they're really well supported. And
right. And is it a particular tradition, or is it eclectic? Is it kind of supporting all different lineages and styles of yoga?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So, Debbie, you used yoga to help you kind of come home to yourself. You said it's different than the other exercises you were doing, like rowing and dragon boating. Can you just tell me a little more specifically what in yoga, like what happened to you in yoga that wasn't happening in exercise class or rowing?
Yeah, of course. I think with yoga, it really makes you tune in and into yourself. And when you're doing something like race, or you're running, or, well, actually running is quite inward as well, I find. But certainly if you're doing racing on a dragon boat, you're actually a team. So you're actually not just thinking about yourself. And I think what happened with yoga was it really made me look at myself, understand what was going on. It calmed my mind. It actually gave me time to actually understand what was going on in my life and know that by just taking time out and just doing some breathing, I found that I became a better person for it. I think that I was having a demanding job and, you know, doing the physical activities was very much rush, rush, rush. But yoga just calmed me down and really grounded me and made me realize, okay, I don't have to be running around at 100 miles an hour. And that was what was really quite wonderful about it.
So you've been practicing for over 30 years and it's supported you through so many different life challenges. What happened at some point? You were diagnosed with a chronic illness. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's 2014 and I had had a hysterectomy and then unfortunately was in hospital about 6 months later with swelling and feeling really unwell. And I didn't have any idea what it was. And it turned out to be cellulitis. And I really wasn't sure where it had come from, but it later found out after having lots of different tests that it was a condition called lymphedema, which is a swelling.
Can you Breakdown cellulitis and then breakdown
Yeah,
lymphedema.
of course. Cellulitis is actually a skin infection. So the symptoms are like you've got flu-like symptoms. So it really does make you feel very poorly. And if it's left unattended, it can turn to sepsis, which is obviously very dangerous. Cellulitis needs to be caught at an early stage. So that's what I ended up in hospital with, but not sure
And that
why
was
I.
unconnected to your hysterectomy, or were those two things connected in some way?
Well, I didn't know when I went into hospital. Well, they didn't know what it was, but it sort of materializes that because I'd obviously had surgery, it then impeded the skin and this lymphatic system. So then obviously then it actually created this lymphedema,
In your
which,
lower body mostly.
yes, yeah, around sort of my lower abdomen and my genital area where I have my hysterectomy scar.
Oh, wow. Was that painful, or was it more like scary that, wow, I have some strange swelling?
Yeah, it was scary because the redness was sort of just getting bigger and bigger, and the swelling was getting bigger and bigger, and I felt really poorly. I felt like I had flu, my body ached, and I just high temperature, pulse was racing, and I just thought this is really not good. So they diagnosed me with lymphedema, but that took some time because they really didn't know why I'd had the cellulitis. And they sort of said, I think it's lymphedema, but we're not sure what it is. So they put me on medication. And eventually I came across the Lymphedema Support Network, which is a recognized body here in the UK. And I contacted them and said, look, they understand this could be lymphedema. Can you actually, recommend somebody that I can speak to so that I can get a proper diagnosis? And they put me in touch with Professor Mortimer. Who was working from London, and I went to see him, and he took one look and said, yeah, you've definitely got lymphedema, and it could be that you've actually got cutaneous Crohn's, which is a skin form of Crohn's.
Wow.
It very much looks like that, but obviously we had to do some tests, and yes, it was confirmed after having some biopsies that it definitely was that.
Whew, I can't even imagine the discomfort you must have been in, not just from the flu-like symptoms, but also, as you're saying, it's kind of by the scar area and maybe sitting or clothes rubbing against. I think these are things that a lot of women have issues around their hips, their low back, their genitals, and it's not something any of us talk about. I can imagine it might feel really lonely to try to even figure out who's going to help me with this, because a lot of
Yeah.
general family practitioners are not experts in these things.
That's certainly true. I mean, that's what I found. I was just really being given lots of medication, but nobody had any answers because it was something that they maybe hadn't come across before.
And what do they do for lymphedema? I mean, I think when someone has like cancer in their breast, they might get lymphedema in their arm. And I notice people wearing like a sleeve and they have people doing body work to kind of move the lymph through. Is it similar when it's on your hips or pelvis area?
Yeah, no, definitely. It is a case of obviously managing it with movement, hence the yoga side of it, which is so beneficial, and doing some self manual lymph drainage. So you're doing massage and obviously keeping an eye on the swelling, and obviously compression garments are very, very important to obviously reduce the swelling because the infections obviously can occur if you've had a graze or a cut to the skin. Then it can actually turn into infection and into cellulitis. So you have to be really careful of managing that. And I think that's what I found really quite difficult, especially when it's in the sort of genital area, because, it's very easy to have conditions that come across, like if you have things like thrush and it's not nice, and then, having this lymphedema as well, it sort of thinks, oh my goodness me. So
Well, it's occurring to me that, and I learned this from Shelley Prosco, who's a yoga therapist and pelvic health expert, like we can't see these things very well, you know? And so she at certain conferences has talked to us about like take a mirror and observe, right? But that's such a foreign concept, you know? You can see something on your arm or your leg, but to really understand what's happening, especially if you didn't have a partner or someone willing to help you figure out, like, why am I hurting?
I mean, that's wonderful. After time, you get to know all the symptoms, you get to see how your body changes. And I mean, this is what I always think with yoga. I always say to myself every morning, how am I feeling? And that's sort of part of the Ayurvedic side of it. And also some of this yoga side is that you sort of, tune into yourself and ask how I'm feeling and really sort of pay attention to that. Because we always ask everyone else, don't we? How are you today? But we never actually ask ourselves and really pay attention to the answer. So
And
that's.
then, if our body is not feeling well, or our mind, or even our spirit, like giving ourselves permission to take a little more space, to slow down. I always feel, am I allowed to take a nap? And I finally convinced myself, yeah, if you're needing that much coffee in the afternoon, a nap is a better choice. And it's okay to do that. There's nothing morally wrong with taking a nap once in a while.
It's always thought of as you shouldn't be doing it, isn't it? And we always feel
Like, am I going to
guilty
get in trouble?
for
Who's going to catch me in bed?
actually.
So, where
It's
does
not.
your yoga and or Ayurveda, and I know you also practice Reiki, like, how did all of this come into your healing journey? I know you just said that you know to tune in, but then what? Like, what happened? What did you do with these practices?
Well, the wonderful thing is it's like I say, it grounded me. The lovely meditation and the breath work was what got me through a lot of the times when you're feeling really anxious, if it's starting to swell or it's starting to feel uncomfortable, and my automatic reaction is to think, oh my goodness me, I've got another case of cellulitis and I'll end up back in hospital. So now I know that I can use my breath work, and often it's that anxiety, isn't it, that we have when we're starting to think that it's going to be something that it possibly won't be. And it then sort of almost encourages that awful feeling that you're actually unwell, when actually it's your own sort of lack of breath work and calming the body down. And
When our mind goes to worst case scenario, and what if it's this? Our heart rate goes up, our sympathetic nervous system gets turned on, our worrying starts to just take over, and that stress of a futuristic what if actually causes the condition to get worse. And if you could take it the other way and say, stay in this moment, be present. Yes, there are sensations. Let's use our breath to dial it down, dial down the worries, dial down the nervous system. Let's rest a little more and, eat a healthy diet and maybe do some self-massage and see how we feel in a few hours.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, I find that I tend to go and lay down, have a yoga nidra, listen to a yoga nidra, and just use my breath and just think, okay, let's just see how you're feeling after this. And invariably, I feel so much better after I've done it. And it is just the fact that I've got anxiety, and that's what's caused a lot of it.
If you can dial down that anxiety and take the yoga nidra, do you see a difference in your physical symptoms, or is it mainly your response and mental state that you see a difference with?
I do see a difference in my physical symptoms as well. I know that stress obviously does impact on lymphedema. When you look at the body, it is our immune system, isn't it? Our lymphatic system is our immune system. And, the fact that when we start getting stressed, we're not into the correct breathing pattern, it does have a huge impact on us. And I notice that in my classes now, when I teach people with lymphedema, we can see when they're stressed, then calm down. You can see that they're no longer feeling anxious and having those symptoms. So, yeah, it is so true. You can see those.
Please take a moment with me to go and listen to something a little different, and then we'll get right back to the guest. Many times, as yoga teachers, yoga therapists, or even moms, dads, grandparents, we wonder what's happening with our loved one in between the times we're seeing them. Whether your child went off to college or whether you're a yoga therapist who only sees your client once a month, you might wonder, how are they doing? Well, here at the Optimal State, we have developed a mobile app where people can track how they're feeling mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually at different times of day, seasons of the year. And basically, you can see the data. You can see how your 6 to 10 a.m. slot in your day looks and how you usually feel at that time versus your 2 to 6 p.m. You know, how do you feel at that time of the day? And you can see the patterns. You can set a week, a month, a season, and get the aggregate data so you can see what your pattern is. Where do you tend to go out of balance? And the cool thing is you can just take a screenshot of that summary and send it off to your yoga teacher, your yoga therapist, your parent, your child. It's a really great way to check in. And I think especially for maybe kids that don't want to call their parents all the time from school, they could just show their parent the data like, okay, I'm doing all right. Here, look at my data for the last 2 weeks. Screenshot. Boom, it's yours. Now you can settle down and stop calling me. It could be that, or it could be that your child is not doing well, but they don't know how to say that to you, or maybe your client. And so your client could take a screenshot of their data from the last week and send it to you as they come into the session, so you kind of have an idea of what's going on with them. So there's many ways to use it. And in addition, there are wonderful interventions that help people to come into balance. So I hope you'll consider checking out on the App Store. It's called Optimal State App. You just type that in, Optimal State App, and check it out. It's free for the first few weeks, so you have nothing to lose from trying it out and checking out how to track, how to get your aggregate data, how to send that off, and then hopefully how to get some interventions. All right, now let's go back to our guest.
You know, if we were to send one message out to conventional medicine, I really believe if we put it in their words, which are, if your nervous system is in sympathetic overdrive, that is going to make your diabetes symptoms worse, your heart disease, your high blood pressure, your immune system work less efficiently. Like, just go down the list. Digestion causing things like IBS, Crohn's, all these digestive related stress disorders. Like, if we could just get that message across that these simple free techniques actually can reduce symptoms. I don't think they know that, maybe.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I do think when you see the percentage of people that are going to A&E and having, because they've got various symptoms, if they were able to calm themselves down, because I think certainly here in the UK, there's a lot of programs that sure have hospitals and, you know, environments where you can see that people are unwell. But as soon as they start feeling unwell themselves, they're assuming that everything is going to be a lot worse than it is. And just by calming yourself down, and like you say, just using the breath. The breath is so underestimated. So underestimated.
Oh, underestimated. Completely agree. And yeah. I'm also thinking of myself and friends that I've known. When we're so anxious and stressed out and we can't pause and bring ourselves back down, the strange irony is that oftentimes we put off doctor's appointments, we put off figuring out what the real issue is, because we have no energy. We've used all of our energy worrying, and therefore we might just stay in that kind of frozen, stuck state for a month before we actually take action to go see, is this a problem or is this not a problem? So it's a double-edged sword that you're feeling awful, you're stressed out, and sometimes that causes putting off what you really need to get done.
Yeah. And I find with the breath work, and certainly with lymphedema, if you can do working with your diaphragmatic breathing, that actually really does help my condition. And I've noticed in class, it's also helping with my clients as well, that the diaphragmatic breathing is actually massaging the lymph nodes in the stomach and is really helping manage the lymphedema. And that's one thing that I emphasize to everyone, is if you can't do anything else, then just do your diaphragmatic breathing, because that is really, really going to help.
I actually asked a cancer researcher this once about lymphedema, because to me, that just makes so much sense, that as the diaphragm lowers down, the organs get shifted around in the abdominal cavity, the lymph glands in the you know, creases of our thighs get slightly oscillating. And I think she told me, Amy, there's no evidence to support that. Have you ever heard of any evidence to support that? It doesn't mean it doesn't work if we don't have that evidence. It just means we haven't studied it, right? But have you looked at any of the evidence-based research on lymphedema?
No, I haven't. I've just heard from my therapist that I've been going to, obviously, she's a manual lymph drainage therapist. And she's been in the industry for many years. And she's always said to me, you know, diaphragmatic breathing is really, really important. And I've just gone with what she said. And obviously, I've done my own sort of research, but I haven't got any evidence-based research to say that that's what it was. I just understand that when you're breathing into the lower lobes, and like you say, the diaphragm is coming down and it's massaging those lymph nodes, that's going to then encourage that lymphatic system to work.
Yeah, and I agree with you. That's exactly what's happening. And anybody out there want to do a study for us and show that? That would be amazing. I'll look it up after the show and see if I can find it. I have this new AI research tool called Consensus that is so amazing. And I can just find studies like that. I can see how well they're done pretty quickly. So I'll try to include that in the show notes if I...
Yeah, that would be great. Consensus. The only evidence I've got is from obviously my clients that I see. And, you know, they have told me that whereas before they would have had to, when they wake in the night and they've got obviously swelling in their legs and it's uncomfortable, and they would have normally gone and put their compression stocking back on, they now actually just elevate their limb and just do their breathing work. And the swelling is gone down, the pain is gone, so that they can actually carry on sleeping. So for me, that's an evidence enough that I know that it's actually working.
And how empowering to be able to prop your legs up on a few pillows right there in bed.
Yeah.
I just think that sounds so much more gentle and pleasant than trying to pull your compression stockings on your legs in the middle of the night when they're already swollen.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
And tell me, I mean, this is not in the area of yoga therapy necessarily, but tell me about Reiki. Is there some connection to lymphedema and Reiki that you've seen on an anecdotal basis, or is that kind of a separate thing that you also
It's just something separate. When I had cancer, and I had my diagnosis with cancer, I was using Reiki quite a lot just to help myself just to settle and heal almost. I was trying to, you know, visualize whilst I was doing Reiki on myself that I was going to be healing, and it just made me feel a lot better. Yeah. It's just like that energy.
So, prana.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And then you also had written a little bit about Ayurvedic lifestyle principles. Was there anything you did in terms of your food or your kind of circadian rhythm throughout the day? What about Ayurveda was helpful to you?
Yeah, I think removing toxins from my life, and it was more food related, and just understanding what my dosha was and understanding what was right for me and what wasn't right for me. And at the time, it was like a pizza. So I was, you know, maybe having curries and different other things that were also going to put heat in the body. And I just thought, okay, well, this doesn't make sense. I need to, you know, have cooling, have mint teas, and just get outside first thing in the morning and just get that lovely, cool, fresh air, and just make changes really for my diet. And the diet changes that I've made, you know, with the Ayurvedic principles has really, really helped with my health throughout the last sort of 20 years, not just with the cancer and for the lymphedema. You know, I've noticed it's reduced any swelling that I've had. That's been really, really beneficial.
Yeah. And then you also mentioned manual lymph drainage. What is that about?
Yeah. So that is actually working with the lymph nodes. And when you go and see a therapist that will do manual lymph drainage, and that is a case of just, again, it's actually opening up the lymphatic system and allowing the body just to drain, the lymphatic system to drain. So every morning I do self lymph drainage, and I just start here in the sort of this clavicle area here, where it is one of the main points. and just massage that, you know, just to, it's almost like creating a pump, because the lymphatic system doesn't have a heart to pump. It's relying on gravity and obviously from movement. So just by actually pumping where the nodes are and where those main areas are, that really does help. And it just gets the lymphatic system moving. So you then do yoga afterwards, then obviously that's going to really help, because it's almost like you need to unblock the drains before you get the lymph moving. So the manual lymph drainage is a case of just working and removing any stagnant areas where you might have swelling, sort of draining that to the main drainage points. And then you can then any exercise that you do after that will really, really help. Either the yoga side or just going for a walk or swimming, that will really, really help.
Yeah, a couple of times on the podcast, we've had Dr. Perry come on, and he's talked about the big six, how to unblock these areas where the lymph tends to get kind of stuck. And then you said, once you unblock them, you can go do yoga, you can go out for a walk, and things will start to flow better. Almost like a beaver dam in your body that you have to pull the beaver dam, and then the water can flow.
That's right. And one of the great things is, if you've had manual lymph drainage and then you drink plenty of water, you will notice that you're, you know, it's actually draining through the kidneys. And then obviously, you know, you then dispel all of the actual lymph. And obviously the water, the fact that we drink lots of water also helps. And it does make you feel a lot better. It's almost makes you feel a little bit congested. Like this, the body is feels stagnant when you've got that sort of swelling in the pooling. But once you've actually done your lymph drainage and you've got moving, then it feels like you've actually released that sort of stagnation.
What's occurring to me as I listen to you, Debbie, is how much personal responsibility you've taken for your own health, and that you're paying attention, you're finding the Western kind of allopathic medical support you need, but you're also like searching for all these other things that can support you, and you're willing to put in the time to take care of yourself every day. What do you think about that? Because that's not that usual, honestly.
No, that is so true. I think that I appreciate the medical part and the support that they offer. But certainly when it comes to things like lymphedema, and when I was diagnosed with cutaneous Crohn's, when I was told there was only about seven other people in the world that had it, I'm thinking, okay, so I'm going to have to, you know, do my own bit of research for this, because no one knows about it. And so, you know, doing the Ayurveda, that's why I thought, oh, well, I'll do that and see what they sort of, they can offer. And the yoga, and obviously just doing my own research and understanding my own body and working with my manual lymph drainage therapist and sort of saying to her, look, you know, this is what I've tried. And she's saying, well, that obviously is working, so let's continue. And yeah, I think I have definitely taken it on board that I have to try these different techniques, diets, whatever, just to see what helps. And I think that's what's made me now feel empowered, that I want to then teach other people that have got lymphedema, that, you know, by doing these certain things and having a habit tracker and doing a list of different things every day is really, really going to help towards your health and managing that condition, because there's not a lot of help out there here in the UK. And so it's very, very important that you actually take that and manage that yourself.
It's not like taking a pill in the morning, is it?
No, not at all.
I'm thinking of the beauty of you being able to manage some of these symptoms more naturally to get a better outcome, so you have less pain and suffering and irritation in your body. But the joy is also in the journey of, I'm loving myself, I'm nourishing myself, I'm taking time for myself, I'm prioritizing myself. And on some spiritual level, I think that commitment to caring for yourself is a spiritual practice too. I mean, it brings you home to self. What do you think?
It certainly does. And I think that's why, I think when I started doing yoga, that's what I could see that it was going to help me with. it grounded me. It made me have empathy. It made me more compassionate, and probably didn't have that before. But I think that's what yoga, it was actually creating that within myself, but also other people that's around me as well. And yeah, I mean, yoga has brought so much to my life. And I get a little bit frustrated when people just think that yoga is an exercise and it's just a, you know, form of doing asanas, but it's not. It's so much more. It's actually a whole different lifestyle, isn't it? And yeah.
I want to go back to what you said. I agree with all of that. But this strange phenomenon that happens that when we come home to self, we tend to have more self-compassion and empathy, but also more compassion and empathy for others. And I've thought a lot about, like, what is that mechanism? What is causing that? And I'd love to hear your opinion. But what I've finally come to is that when you come home to self, you've feel the suffering of being human deeply. You start to feel the joy and the pain. And once you connect with those variations of being human within yourself, it's much easier to connect with that in seeing others go through that same cycle. What do you think?
I totally agree with you. And for me, it's even just actually looking at the wildlife as well. And I see now every living creature is actually trying to survive. And, you know, I won't kill a spider as much as I don't like them. I won't kill one. And, you know, if I've got flies, I'm just, no, I just have to give them their life. And I think this is what I understand is that we're all here and we have to make the best of it.
And it's hard. Even the people who look like they have it all and it's easy, it's not easy for them. I talk to people every day who, from a materialistic level, look like they are just fine and they're not fine.
But I don't know about you, but I find the more and more I come back to life and just living simplistic way and removing the materialistic things from life and just appreciating. I think this is what cancer gave me, is it made me really have gratitude for the people that were around me, my family, the people that supported me through that. And it made me think that there is more to life than shopping. And, you know, it is just waking up in the morning and smelling the fresh air and just be grateful of that you're here and that, you know, you're enjoying every day and, you know, sort of plan for living as opposed to planning for anything else when you're unwell.
I love what you're saying. I've been really trying to switch my perspective, and that when I wake up every day, I think, oh, I have these cozy sheets, and oh, there's a little kitty next to me. And then I get to go have my yummy, decaf coffee, and like just trying to really focus on those smaller things. And then I'm watching my elderly father, who's about 85, and he can see the window closing and the things being taken away one by one. And that there's going to come a moment where this human experience is gone for him. And in fact, we all have that moment. We don't know when it's going to come, but it's so clear to me watching his window start to get smaller. I just think being in connection with that kind of vulnerability is the key to unlocking this tenderness of the tiny, small things, like a cute little squirrel out on the deck.
It's so interesting you say that because I had this phone conversation with my dad yesterday and he's 85. And I'd given him a sheet of information that I'd written up for doing yoga for longevity. And I said to him, I said, look, will you just have a read of this and just tell me what you think and, you know, just critique it and tell me what if I need to make any changes because I'd like to sort of promote that. And he came back to me and he said there was so much there that actually resonated with me. And he said, one of the things that I really did take away, he said, there's, I really do fear death. And I've never thought of it before. And I think sometimes it's that that makes me quite anxious, but grumpy. because he's actually, you know, like you're saying, his window is getting smaller. But I said to him, you've got to actually just enjoy every day and plan, still plan for the future, plan for your trips, you know, and doing things. I said, because some people are in there very young and they never make it home because they've had an accident or something. At least, you know, you can just still plan for your things that you want to do, even though your window is smaller. Just make the most of every day and, you know, your life ahead of you, rather than sitting and worrying about what, you know, how you're feeling and not enjoying your life. Every day you've got to enjoy, haven't you?
And it's hard because their friends are starting to pass away, so their community is getting smaller. And but yeah. You know, I would argue, you and I both had cancer, I would argue that that diagnosis and treatment and moving through that gave us a similar view into what they're experiencing. That my first thought when I figured out I had cancer was, oh my God, I haven't had any fun this lifetime. I've been just a little worker bee. I need to find some joy, some fun, even if it's 3 months left. Because when you first get diagnosed, you don't really know how long you have. You haven't figured out the stage yet. And ever since then, I've felt so much more joyful about these small things. How about you?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think cancer does make you really start thinking about your life and, you know, why am I worrying about these things when I really don't need to? Just enjoy life, you know. I don't get stressed about other people anymore. I just think, okay, fine. You know, they're just living the life that they want to, and that's fine. We're all different. And, you know, just accept people for who they are and just enjoy your life and fill it with people that you want to be around and do the things that you want to do. Have you made changes in your life since your diagnosis?
I have. I changed my priorities. I worry less. I think I've slowed down to feel more, because you always think you have all these decades ahead of you. Like, oh, well, once I get XYZ complete, then I'll be able to rest, or then I'll be able to spend more time with family. And a couple of years ago when I had cancer and my dad was in the ICU for 3 weeks, I was like, wait a damn minute. These are not promised. The window for he and I to be together, I don't know if that's tomorrow, a month, a year. Like, so I immediately packed up and moved back to be near him.
Yeah.
Just knew that that time was shorter than I had realized.
Yeah. No, it certainly does, doesn't it? But it's great. I think it's good that we actually have that realization.
So lucky. And I also just want to acknowledge the privilege of being able to make a shift like that.
Yeah.
Retire from my university career to just moving across country can cost $20,000. I mean, it's not like people can just wake up and be like, I think I'll make a change. Like, there is very structural and systemic things that keep us from the lives we really want, you know?
Yeah. One thing that we have to be grateful for, isn't it, really, that you can make those changes and enjoy the rest of our time with our loved ones and do the things that really bring us that joy and peace.
So do you have any last pearls of wisdom that you want to share? Or do you feel like we've kind of covered those pearls of wisdom?
Covered it. All I would say is, if people that are out there with lymphedema, you know, find someone that can help you, and underestimate the importance of moving and exercise to help with it. I think that sometimes when you're not feeling great, you don't want to get up and go for a walk, or you don't want to move. But it's so important that if you've got lymphedema, that you keep active, because you don't want it to actually, you know, get to the stage where it's becoming edema and really uncomfortable and then very difficult to be able to move. So that would be my sort of, really what I want people to take away from this is, yeah, make sure that you can keep active, keep healthy, drink plenty of water, look after your skin.
And it sounds like your manual lymph drainage practitioner was a big resource on how to tap into a lot of the natural lifestyle changes that you made.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think she understood, a lot more than just obviously her training. And so, yeah, she still remains today a very important lady in my life. So,
And do you have any like online classes or workshops or retreats that you can share your knowledge if people aren't right near London?
yeah, I mean, I haven't been doing online classes, only the fact that I like to do one-to-ones and make sure that people are obviously not harming themselves in any way. But I've recognized that, and I keep being told that actually, if you're doing a one-to-one online, then that's great because you can actually see close up to what somebody's doing. So yes, I mean, please get in touch on my website and I will certainly be very, very happy to talk to you and understand what it is that they're looking for and help them in any way. I do voluntary work as well at a local cancer charity. So if they're in the area, they could join in those classes, very small classes again, concentrate on different parts of the body. So we've had lymphedema of the arms and we've just done lymphedema of the legs. And next course is obviously lymphedema in the neck and face. So yeah, please get in touch and I can ask.
What is your website?
It is debbielamondyoga.co.uk.
For those of you who are listening only, I'll put her website in the show notes, debbielamondyoga.co.uk. And so they could have a private session with you online from anywhere in the world, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm very happy to help.
I see here on your website, initial consultation, 30 minutes, no charge, just to see if
Yes.
you're a good match.
Yeah, definitely. And even I find that there's one lady that I've spoken to this week, and she's not in a position to actually to work with me at the moment, but she's come back to me. She said, even just having that call with you was so, so beneficial. And I know now what I need to sort of make a few changes to my life. And she said, really, really thank you for that. So just a call sometimes is just enough. Yeah. So
Thank you, Debbie. It's been a pleasure to meet you. And I have not met very many yoga teachers and yoga therapists in this area of lymphedema. So I feel like you're offering something to our community that is much needed. And I'm glad that we got a chance to kind of promote your work a little bit.
oh, that's very kind of you. And thank you. It's been lovely chatting to you. I'm very, very grateful to have this opportunity.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
you.
Thank you to our guest this week, and thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. Something that I've been working on behind the scenes with my friend Marlisa Sullivan is going to come out in 2026. We've been writing a book together for the last year where we go deeply into yoga philosophy and yoga therapy. And then we have the scientific vagus nerve, heart rate variability, all sorts of polyvagal theory to back up why it is that yoga philosophy is right on track and why it's been helping people for thousands of years. We're turning in our book this fall to the publisher, and in the spring of 2026, it should come out. So we're just giving you a little heads up that that will be coming out soon. And when it does, we can't wait to share it with you. Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. We wish you a wonderful week. We hope that somehow, in a small way, we've contributed to your well-being so that you can go out and share that well-being with others. That's what life is all about, bringing in the goodness through you and then shining it out to the world. We need you more than ever. So let's all get out there, do good, be good, and have a great week.